speaker. So many times, a few minutes before the worship hour begins, I come and sit up front and just kind of look over my notes, and I don't see all the people that come in. So, wow. Thank you for attending and being here today. I don't know what the occasion is, but it must be something special going on that I don't know about. Maybe my invitation is coming this afternoon to that party or whatever it is. We're glad you're with us. Thank you for coming. Especially appreciate your desire so much to assemble together for a time, not only of friendship and fellowship, but to enjoy a time of worship together and giving our praise to God. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. I've kind of, with so many, asked my brethren to look around and please share. If you see someone that does not have a bulletin or perhaps an outline, you're certainly welcome to follow along with that. The sermon comes from the text that was read to us this morning, the singular phrase that Jesus used in closing in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 25, where the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over many things." And the last phrase is, "Enter into the joy of thy Lord." So if I'm going to hear that last invitation of Jesus, "Enter into the joy of your Lord," I want to know what's required of me. Is there anything that I need to do? Is there any way that I need to live? I want to hear that "well done." So I'm going to take each phrase or each word from the text, that from the phrase that Jesus used to this talented man, and use that for our lesson this morning. Number one, prior to Jesus saying, "Enter into the joy of thy Lord," he mentioned to him, "Well done." Let's take first that word "done." So Jesus did not say to him, "Well said," or "Well thought about, but rather, "Well done." So I put by definition in your notes, is when Jesus said that he has done something, it means that you have brought or having come to an end. If you are done or finished, means you've completed something. Nothing remains. You are done. A meaning all of the steps in the process are met. You are done. Finished. So that I put in your notes, the first step to gain entrance into the joy of the Lord or into heaven, into eternity safely, is to become a Christian, to obey the gospel. Paul said in writing to the church in Thessalonica, he says to you who are troubled, he says, "Rest with us." And then he gives this information. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, he's going to be taking fire or taking vengeance on those, first of all, who know not God, and then second, an interesting phrase, take vengeance on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. If I want to escape that eternal separation and the vengeance of God, I need, the text says, to make sure that I have obeyed the gospel. I need to be sure that I have done that. I want to hear the "well done." There are three times a question is asked in the Bible, "What must I do?" In other words, I want to know what I need to have done. So what must I do to get it done? First time that question is asked is in Acts chapter 2. It's after Jesus has ascended back to While these Jews from every nation are gathered together, Peter stands up with the other apostles and delivers a message to them. He reaches a point in his lesson in Acts 2, verse 37. He says that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren," here's the question, "what shall we do?" What shall we do? Well, Peter answered them, this is the response that needs to be done. So he said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." No one's left out. He didn't say half do this and another half do that. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And then the verse continues, with many other words he testified, and to them saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation." Those that gladly received his word were baptized. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and prayers. If I'm going to hear "well done," I need to know what to do. Peter gives the answer the first time when the question is asked, "What must we do?" "Repent and be baptized, everyone." The second time that question is asked is by Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes the Apostle Paul. And Saul is on the road to Damascus to get letters from the synagogue permitting him to persecute the Christians. He stopped in his tracks while he's on that journey. There's a bright light and the voice of the Lord. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" The verse continues, "The Lord said to him, arise and go into the city. It will be told you what thou must do." So Paul answers that, or makes that response. He does what the Lord said. And it would be told him what to do. And so in the city, in verse 10, the story continues, there's a certain disciple named Ananias. And in a vision, Ananias is told to meet with Saul and what to say. And at the end of that meeting, Saul, in verse 18, arose and was baptized. You want to know first, what do you want me to do? Go here, and he told you what to do. Ananias is sent, and Ananias has arrived and be baptized. That's what to do. I need to be sure that I have done that, if I have had my sins forgiven. The third time the question is asked by a jailer in Philippi, where Paul and Silas have been in jail. There's an earthquake and the jail bars open, and the jailer is afraid that the prisoners are going to escape. In Acts chapter 16, verse 29, the jailer calls for a light, it says. He ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do?" The answer is found in the next verse, verse 31. It says, "So they said," meaning Paul and Silas, "said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now with that answer, it's not complete. The reason I know that's not a complete answer, it's not believe only, but that's the start. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. But the next verse says, in verse 32, they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and to all that were in his household. He needed more information than just that introductory sentence. So you need to believe. That's a great start. That's a necessary start. But you need to know more. So they spoke the word of the Lord unto him and to all that were in his house. The next verse says, and immediately he and his family were baptized. we'll hear the Lord say, well done. I need to know what I need to do. And when that question is asked those three times, you put the response all together. And you can see that they heard the word of God. They believed the message that was preached to them. They repented, that Peter said, repent. They probably confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. I want to be sure that I have done that which I am required to do. For me to hear, well done. Right? So that's the first word that we're going to look at in the story. Second, be a person who has done well. The Lord said, well done. Well done. That just means that I need to be sure that I do what I'm capable of doing. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, it says, for the first is a willing mind. It's accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he has not. I need to do what I'm capable of doing, not what somebody else is capable of doing. Make sure that I use my talents, that what I do well. There's a woman that in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. She broke open a flask and she anointed the head of Jesus. The disciples were critical of that action. But Jesus said in Mark 14, verse 8, she has done what she could. Well done, lady. Well done. You've done what you could. When Paul is preaching and he's writing to the church in Rome, and I didn't put this verse in your notes, but in Romans 1, verse 15, Paul used an interesting phrase, and he says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach. As much as in me is. Well done, Paul. That's all that's required. Whatever you're capable of, make sure that it's done. And then second, done well. In Jeremiah 48, verse 10, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully or negligently. There's a curse. If I don't do what I'm capable of doing, and doing it well, I'm not going to hear well done. I'm going to hear cursed. Cursed. Means do the work of the Lord. Do it with your best effort. Use all of your ability. Don't shortchange it. And Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Put some gusto behind it. Matthew 5, verse 41, Jesus gives the illustration of if man compels you to go 1 mile, go another. Someone needs to want your coat, give them your cloak too. In other words, just simply saying, do more than what's expected. You're asking, someone asks you to do something, now do it well. Didn't our parents teach us that when we were young? Remember my dad borrowed a tool? He took it back to the one he borrowed it from in much better shape than he received it. That was just a philosophy of life. Whatever you do well. You add a little more. You do more than what's expected. It's the attitude of when you see someone here, what do you need? How can I help you? What I do, I want to do well. Do well. Number three, be a person who does good. Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. Others always are encouraging us to do good, aren't they? We hear that. Be good, do good. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're created. good works. Don't shortchange that. In Luke 10, verse 42, you have Mary and Martha. And Jesus is there. Martha's preparing a meal, which is fine. Need to eat. But Jesus is there too, and he's having a Bible study. Oh, the phrase is, Martha, cooking's okay, but not right now. It's time for Bible study. Then he says, Mary has chosen that good part. Jesus makes this connection concerning the day of judgment in giving information to those who were following him. In John chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus says, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their grave shall hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So if I want to hear, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, I need to be a person who has done, number one, have done well and good. Number four is faithful. Faithful in Christian living. I want to be reliable. If someone describes you as someone who is faithful, it means you're dependable. You're trustworthy. Steadfast. I can count on you. The opposite is just put a not in front of these words. You're not trustworthy. You're not reliable. You're not dependable. Well, I know what that looks like. If I want to hear the inner end of the joy of your Lord, I need to make sure that I'm reliable, dependable, steadfast, able to be counted upon. And that's all that's required in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Moreover, it's required that stewards of a man be found faithful. That's all that's required of you and me, is that I am steadfast and reliable and faithful according to my ability, the talent that God has given me, and then be faithful to the end. That's all that's required. You don't have to do what someone else does. You may not have their talent, their abilities, their opportunity. God only requires us to do what we can. But we need to have done what he says to do. The last one, number five, is to be a person who is a faithful servant. You know what a servant is. You go into a restaurant, you know, the words now are server. They go, we have a server. And you know what they do? Well, you just stay at the table. They come. They deliver. They ask, what do you need? What do you want? How may I help you? They're servers. It means they're an attendant. They're one who performs the duty of someone for the master. They are slaves by choice. They're served. They're servers. In Galatians 5, verse 13, it says, through love, serve one another. So again, it goes back to the attitude of when we look around and see in the lives of one another. Let me get that for you. Anything else I can do before I go? Serve. It's an attitude of life. One congregation placed a sign on the church building door that comes into the auditorium. The sign says, enter to worship. The sign on the door when you're going out said, leave to serve. That's right. Enter to worship. We leave to serve. I want to hear, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I need to have been someone that has done well, is good, is faithful, and serves. And then I hear it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, Peter admonishes his audience in writing. He says, I want you to add to your faith all of these things. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, a list of things to add to our faith. And then he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, let's do them, you'll never stumble. And for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An entrance. That's what I want. I want to hear well God so that I can enter in. And you too. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of expectation. Primarily goes back to point number one in our lesson. You need to have done something. First of all, become a Christian. So when they ask the question three times in the Bible, what must I do? First of all, you need to hear the gospel, the good news message. Believe it. Then repent of your sins. Then confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Then you can be baptized for remission of sins. And then if you rise to walk in newness of life, from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we attend our worship assemblies and Bible classes, and we work, we become workers together and fellow laborers with God. That's the invitation we extend. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to respond in a public way, to become a Christian, you simply do that while we're singing this song. If you respond, have a seat beside me. At the end of the song, I'll simply ask you a question. I'll say, what's on your mind? And you will say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission.